Part 4. The importance of books, reading, and language.
Books are wonderful things. Things can let you travel afar. They could turn you into a pirate or hero or a star. They are lovely companions of a rainy day. They are also nice things to read while you are driving to a holiday. I love books. Ooh. I love books.
Yeah.
Reading is the way that we come to acquire meaning from texts. And writing is the way that we create our own texts, if I may set them up. There's other ways of defining them, but those I think are useful definitions. And really the important thing, I suppose, is text and its importance in a school learning process, among other places. Now, what does text do? It, in some sense, freezes our way of knowing. By freeze, I mean it systematizes it, it puts it down on paper, it defines the relationships in knowing that we're trying to talk about, and it opens access up to other people, to the way that we're thinking about things. It's very hard to do that in the oral mode, in the spoken mode, because our ideas move, our words move, we are distracted and we go off in another direction. And it's very hard to systematically study the spoken word. One has to place it into the text. One has to write it and make it available to readers in order for it to become the subject of the kind of learning that takes place at school. And that's why I think it relates so fundamentally to this whole question of what is the difference between school knowing and everyday knowing, which is the broader question that we've opened up in the module. But let me just one caution here. I'm not trying to say that discussions, arguments, speaking, expressing one's mind is not important. Of course that's important in a school situation. If learners are not permitted to do that, then they are not able to engage with the knowledge that they have in front of them in the school. But, and here's the crucial point, that knowledge is written. It exists in texts. And the critical discussions that go on in schools are about and around text. They are carried by text. They allow us to understand text. And when we discuss things critically, what we're trying to do in a school situation is make learners more able to engage with texts and to produce their own texts. If they are to be the source of empowerment, they must be engagements through text and through school knowing of the everyday forms of knowledge that are important to people. They become incredibly alienating, as I think we all know, if they simply become learning about Pericles in ancient Greece with no connection to what's going on the ground in South Africa.
Okay.
But the power is in reinterpreting and re-understanding our own local forms of knowledge through the medium of text and through the medium of school knowledge. And suddenly a whole new world and a whole new set of powers are opened up for the learner.
Aha, so books and reading are the things that make school, school. Ian suggested that books freeze knowledge and so allow us to come back to it, to check it, to analyze it, and to share it with others. But as we heard earlier, many learners have a very bad attitude towards books and reading. They don't enjoy reading. Jill also mentioned the importance of language and reading, even for math teachers like herself. In order to get some advice about how we could integrate reading into our classrooms, I spoke to Yvonne Reed, a teacher educator at the University of the Witwatersrand.
There is a lot of evidence that suggests that becoming a reader involves, at least in part, learning to behave like a reader. And if children come from homes where they haven't seen people behaving like readers, then they do start off at a disadvantage in comparison to children who have seen that. And so in any situation where learners have had not much exposure to reading behaviors at home and not much exposure to environmental print, they just have less familiarity with, if you like, the building blocks of reading. And then teachers need to make the school environment as rich as possible. And I think that here it's important to make use of resources that are starting to become more available, such as the special supplements that get put out in newspapers. And a number of the magazines have similar things, maybe sometimes for slightly older learners.
One of the things that has come in for enormous criticism in South Africa is the practice in so many schools at a very junior level of chorusing. So very often reading happens through chorusing at that level. And then I suppose at higher levels, in the discipline-specific stuff, the way in which learners read is through almost
rote learning, but rote reading as well. Now, is the criticism legitimate? Is chorusing just bad, and is rote learning just bad?
I don't think so. One of the things that can be useful about chorusing is that it gives you, if you're a learner in a class of 30 or 40 or more learners and everybody's chorusing together, if you're not too sure but you'd like to have a go, you're at much less risk in the chorus. So you can try. And at another level, especially in an environment where learners are not yet very confident in the language of learning in the school, through chorusing, there are at least some opportunities for pronouncing unfamiliar words and so on. Where it's problematic is if teachers think that when they've heard a chorus, everybody is chorusing correctly, because you can't hear that in the general chorus. That's the first thing. And secondly, that if everybody's chorusing, everybody has understood something.
I think that raises an issue with me about what is reading, actually, because, you know, I'm sure you know of those sort of nonsense comprehensions that are quite often set, and people can answer all the questions absolutely correctly. Has the person there actually done any reading?
The person has done reading of a kind. The person has recognized, oh, right, this is one of those reading comprehensions. There's a passage, and then underneath the passage, there are four questions. Now, what the person can do is say, okay, I don't really understand what this passage is about, and maybe I don't understand the questions either. But what I do understand how to do is play the comprehension guessing game. And what I need to do is I need to go to the first question and see the main words in that question and how they're set out in a question format, go back to the text and find those same words, and I can probably come up with a reasonable answer. That's if all the questions are doing is that sort of matching. So there's literal comprehension. Now, that's what I call the matching exercise. So that, and that's why people can answer nonsense questions on nonsense passages, because they're matching.
Okay.
Right? But if you go beyond that to inferencing and interpreting and so on kinds of questions and critical questions, then you really do need to be able to read with understanding in order to respond to those questions. Now, I think teachers need to work with both. You do need to do that sort of checking that learners can identify certain features of a passage and understand them, what certain vocabulary items mean and so on. But that's stage one, and then you need to go beyond that. Certainly, if you want to move learners in the higher grades to any sophisticated level of critical reading, interpretive reading, analysis, synthesis, etc.
Okay.
Any society that has expectations of learners processing huge amounts of information that come from outside their immediate context, and it does become very important. Well, if teachers and learners are working in a context where they're fortunate enough to have quite a range of texts, one of the skills that it's very useful for learners to learn quite early is that if they are trying to find out about a particular topic, and they consult two or three or four or more books on that same topic, that they'll get different pieces of information from those, and that they can start to develop skills in synthesizing information from different sources, which is extremely useful. They can start to think critically, you know, why is it that one of these books tells me X and another tells me Y? What's going on here? So it can help to develop critical thinking skills. It can help to develop analyzing and synthesizing skills.
How would you encourage learners to read? How would you overcome the negative attitudes that many of our learners have to books?